at times is becoming farcical. And you have to really feel for these players and management. This isn't normal in any shape or form.
For your first chance to hear Brian O'Driscoll on OTB, download the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications.
Let's turn our attention to rugby. I'm delighted to say we've got Keith Wood and Fiona Hayes with us. You're both very welcome. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks a million, guys.
Morning, Ger.
Keith, if I could start with you and the injury to RG Snyman. At this point, we've kind of teased out the human difficulty that he's going to go through. It's a horrific moment for him and in his career. From a rugby perspective, does it change significantly what Munster can do? Or actually, I mean, I don't know. That's the question. How much does it change Munster's ability to implement a game plan?
Yeah, well, I think it does change it quite heavily, because I think Snyman offers something very different from Irish second rows. And what we've seen from an awful lot of the teams, even when they're trying to be more expansive, there's a requirement around having some fairly heavy hitting forwards. And the bullying fashion of a couple of weeks ago, when you saw Snyman coming off the bench and play like a globetrotter trying to bash the ball onto the ground, showed that, my God, was this guy hungry to get back onto the field. And I do think it's something that puts an issue for Munster, because that means the depth chart there becomes a bit thinner, but there isn't anybody that would stand out like he would. So I think it can curtail what Munster do, and yet they have to try and figure out a way of maximising the players that they have at their disposal to try and get the most out of them for the rest of it. But it puts a dent in it, so they have to find a workaround. I mean, you can't have, it's at the very start of the season, Munster can't be complaining for the rest of the season that one of the players, one of their key players, is out and they can't then perform at the highest level. So I think it's a dent to the confidence of the team, both on a human basis and on a team basis. But they have to find a workaround. There's no way around it for them.
What do you think Munster are going to do contract-wise, Keith?
For Snyman, I don't know. It's funny, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking back on an argument I had with Anthony Foley a good few years ago, and me being a bit of a heartless bastard and Foley being far more humanitarian, and talking about Tyler Blaintal, and the idea being that that, you know, players are not slabs of meat, and also knowing for myself, my own career, that at different times when you different injuries, you are effectively cast aside, and the commercial realities then that happen within the game make it very, very difficult. So I also know, it was funny, I went looking through numbers of games I played when I was injured, and I managed to play a huge amount of rugby through my whole career, even though I had a huge amount of surgery, and it is to taking it on a case-by-case basis. So do they believe that this was just dreadfully unlucky or awkward, or is there a predisposition for this injury to go again? And having injured the same knee twice, it's pretty much uninsurable, I would imagine. It just makes it incredibly difficult. And, you know, it's, we hate to say sport is a business, yet we do know it's a business. And the human side of it is appalling, because this is a guy who's dreamt his whole life to play and play at a high standard. He gets injured, he comes back, you can see the hunger that he has coming back, and then it goes again. I mean, it's just heartbreaking watching what happens in terms of the contract. It isn't just Munster, it's Munster and the IRFU. And I always say that these are the conversations that happen for any of these big signings. The IRFU are intimately involved in them. So it is how it stacks up to the finances. And that sounds heartless, but that is also the reality. And it's the reality that every sportsman has when they step onto the field. So, look, I think it was just heartbreaking watching it, actually.
Yeah, Fiona, notwithstanding that, the nature of the heartbreak, the point Keith makes about it being the start of the season, Munster need to lick their wounds and get over it as quickly as they possibly can. That whole next man up mentality, everybody talks about it in professional sports, but in instances like this, you actually have to apply it, because otherwise it could have the potential to derail the season.
Yeah, exactly that. But I think you also have to remember the point that he hasn't actually played much rugby with Munster. So although we have talked a lot about him and he absolutely offers the X factor, we've seen it in the patches where he's been able to play for Munster. It's just we haven't seen it. So yes, it will affect going forward because you obviously have your plans, as Keith spoke. There's a depth chart there. But the actual ability on the pitch, I think there's plenty there that will step up. I know he's not of the same category, but we've seen the young guys come through. We've seen the likes of Thomas Ahern, and he seems to be linking up well with that backline. I think that's what Snyman offered you. He was obviously a beast of a man, but his skill set was absolutely top class. And I think the academies are bringing these guys forward.
Let's talk a little bit about the other thing that's happened with Munster over the last while, and that's the excitement around Ben Healy. So you temper the pain and suffering of the Snyman injury with all of a sudden the sense that, geez, Ben Healy looks absolutely amazing. So in those terms, Fiona, how much pressure is Joy Carby on for his place? What would your team be for this weekend if you were picking it?
Oh, God. Yeah, I suppose if you're looking at actual form and game time, I mean, Ben Healy had a cracking game last weekend. I think the new law, the 50-22, really suits him. He's got a great boot distance-wise. But also he's well capable of dropping that ball in behind the space that's left with the defender sitting deep. So look, if you're looking at a game plan, I mean, you're looking at Ben Healy. He's in really good form. I don't know if it's 100% down to Munster. I would imagine there's or a few could be involved at times in selections as well. And they want to see Joey getting game time. He needs to be in there. They're looking at him. There's a lot of talk about him being the next player to take over. He hasn't put his hand up 100% yet. But I think a go Joey versus Jack Carty at the weekend is would be an absolutely amazing battle to watch for Irish rugby fans.
Is it too premature, Keith, to take the risk with Joey Carberry's confidence?
That's a cracking question, and it really is a cracking question. I thought Joey has been a bit hesitant at the start of the season, and you wanted him to come into the season flying with that confidence that he has, that he and that ability to read and snap and do things that others don't have, I think. And I think I'd often say his ceiling is unbelievably high, but he needs to be getting to that ceiling, and I think he's been hesitant. And Ben Healy, for me, I don't know whether this is right, wrong or indifferent, but I thought Munster had missed a trick last year when Healy's confidence was up and then he suddenly wasn't playing. And of course, JJ Hanrahan then went and had his best game ever for Munster against Claremont. I mean, it's one of those kind of mad things. But then we didn't see Healy as much at the very end. I don't know whether he doesn't know enough not to worry, but my God, he steps up, hoofs the ball, is confident. So he is showing no hesitancy whatsoever. And, you know, you have to get to the point of where Munster get the most out of their players, and they can't be waiting for the players to recover all the time. You have to get out and play. So I think if you look at the manner in which the brio of Munster last week, where they look confident all the time, I think an element of that comes down to having a 10 who's willing to bash the ball wherever he is and have a bit of a cut. He's going to make mistakes. It's been a while since we've had an opportunity where we have two players that we think could be of good enough. He's the younger guy, but he played very well at the weekend. I think you have to reward players who play very well. So I'd go for Healy this weekend.
Yeah, and that'll be very interesting to see exactly what they do. So we'll keep a close eye on that. That game against Connacht, obviously hugely important now from Connacht's perspective, given the roller coaster up and down start that they've had, Fiona. We need Connacht to be every bit of expression that they possibly can be in their very best selves. That's why this inconsistency has been, from their perspective, I presume, maddening for Andy Friend and his new management team. And really, there was a challenge to the players in the middle of that. We were talking with Brian O'Driscoll about this, and he called up a line that Friend had said, everybody needs to bring their A game. That's kind of not so subtle, I suppose, if you're a player and you didn't bring your A game last weekend, you know that he's talking about you.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's dead right. But I think there's an excellent element of coaching there as well, because he also came out and looked at the training week before the game and said that he maybe overtrained them. So he's letting them know subtly that they need to take a step up, but he's also putting his hand up in the air. I think we've all looked at Connacht when they've been good. And I mean, the excitement across the country through all pundits, anyone talking about them when they're playing their A game, as you said, they're absolutely just outstanding to watch. It's the rugby's so free flowing, it's moving and it's excellent. But I suppose we've seen, and it's hit home last weekend, the inconsistency of it. And when a team goes out to maybe slow down their ball, or when they go to maybe upset that game plan, it was like almost Connacht didn't know what to do. So I'm sure they've worked really hard at training this week, and I would imagine we're going to see a cracker of a game. But I mean, I think it looks like they might bring Bundy Aki in as well, so they're really up for it. And I suppose physicality at times is what they lacked, and he'll definitely bring that.
Yeah, Keith, I think in some ways the league has kind of needed one of these big games to ignite the passing fans' interests. Generally, the rugby season had a lovely rhythm in Ireland. These games would start, the Celtic League would start, people would pay a bit of attention, and then the European games would happen before the November internationals, and everybody kind of knew those European games were the official starting point. That's not going to happen this year. It's a different setup. Obviously, we're going to miss those pre-European games. So matches like this are a huge opportunity for anybody who is on the fringes of the Ireland selection to try and jimmy their way into it.
It is. Both the fans and the players get the chance and the opportunity. I often think the first 3 or 4 weeks of a season are slow and ponderous and hard to get really excited. And partly it's from the structure, actually. And it was interesting listening to Friend talk about the training that they had last week, because it struck me both for Munster and for Connacht. Connacht looked a little bit leaden in the second half, and they were lacking that energy, and they looked a little bit flat-footed and exposed when the ball went wide against them. Munster looked the opposite. They looked on the top of their toes, as if everything was working perfectly for them. They looked fast, you know, and it's interesting when you watch games like that, and that can just be down to fatigue, it can be down to the workload that some of the players are having to go through. For Connacht, having Aki coming back, or due to come back this weekend, puts a huge change. He is the energy bringer to Connacht an awful lot, and I think they struggle without him. And you know, we don't ever forget that Connacht have a shallower depth chart than the other teams, and they suffer when they have a couple of injuries from big players. So I think they did suffer, and a couple of late withdrawals last week just puts them under pressure. But they looked not jaded is the wrong. They just looked a little bit tired last week, and but they won't be this week. So players that get a chance, Carty definitely trying to get back in. I mean, he did suffer quite heavily post-World Cup for the performance against Japan, unceremoniously kind of ditched really at that stage. And it's taken him a long time to get his confidence back. He is not fully back, but he is back a bit. But watching to see how some of the players have an impact coming back in, whether Conor Murray gets a run, whether you know, some of the other guys come back in that have Tadhg Byrne coming back in after that delay from the Lions, what will they bring to it as well? I mean, it's getting serious now. The nights are getting darker, you know, everything. It starts to feel more like rugby season.
You mentioned there earlier on, Fiona, the possibility of Carty versus Carberry and how exciting that is. And Keith mentioned Carty getting his confidence back. How close do you think he is to being back enough for Andy Farrell to consider him again?
Yeah, I suppose. I think he spoke during the week that he had been on to Andy Farrell, and you know, he's obviously in the frame of mind where he's ready to go. He's ready to get back up there. He's been waiting. He's watched that jersey, I suppose, under Johnny, and no one has put their two hands out and grabbed it. And like, as we know, everyone's talked about it, Johnny's getting pushing on, but he's playing great rugby at the same time. But we're just looking as a nation for someone to put their hand out and nail on that 10 jersey after Sexton. So his confidence is building, he's getting his game time. He spoke about the style of coaching that's in this year. It seems to suit him as a player. He's able to play on the gain line. He just looks like a man who's happy playing rugby. And as Keith said, he hasn't had that absolutely game through the roof yet, but you can see him slowly building, and his confidence, and every week as he goes, he's making those connections. And whether it's with Blade or Marmion, he seems to be very, very comfortable with those inside and out of him. And that's obviously the system that they're playing, and he definitely looks like he's ready to put his hand up. And I personally think this game is going to be the big one for him. And if he can come out on top, be it not a Connacht win, but if he himself has an absolutely outstanding game, I think he's a shoo-in to get a call into that camp.
I know we've spoken about the out half for Ireland so much over the last couple of years, Keith, but I think this week kind of has moved the needle on it a little bit. So what's your feeling on the behind Johnny Sexton options and where they rank at the moment?
Yeah, it's quite hard to... I think there's a host of people behind him. I think that is the way it is, and that's the issue. That there, and in fairness, Fiona has got it exactly right. Who's putting their hand up? I mean, when we look at Johnny, we'd say we have a World Cup in a couple of years' time. Will we have a guy at 37 years of age holding the 10 jersey? Are we? How fit will he be? Now, we know he'll be physically fit, but how fit will he be when he gets additional attention? If he's going to play flat in the line, is he going to be there? Are we putting too much on that? Do we have somebody else that we can have? And that, I mean, they're all the right questions that you need to have. But it still requires people to take the jersey, you know, and we're not saying they have to be perfect, but they have to show the chance that they need to be picked so that we can have them fully up to speed by the time the World Cup comes along for them to be able to do something. That isn't really happening at the moment. So I think we're in for a really interesting period of time, because the next couple of weeks, the November internationals, they will highlight where we are. And it comes down to, would there become a decision made where you don't pick Johnny Sexton and you say, well, we're going to have to make these other players into international tens come the World Cup? That seems like a pragmatic thing to do. But you need guys to actually step up to it. And the only person who is stepping up at the moment, albeit at the start of the season, is Johnny Sexton. So that's quite interesting, you know. So look, for me, it comes down to confidence. It comes down to capability, coachability. And chopping and changing all the time is very disruptive, especially for a 10. He has to understand how to manage a game under huge pressure all the time. And the more time he gets to play at it without injury, the better a player he's going to be. And we have been beset with injuries. So we kept saying Harry Byrne was one of the guys that was coming through. We know that Ross Byrne plays incredibly well, but he does play deep. And that gets exposed at international rugby. But he is a fantastic goal kicker and a very fine player. And you know he's a very safe pair of hands. But to have a more expansive style, to integrate the forwards far more, to be a threat, you need to take it to the line more. His brother seems to do that a bit more, but keeps picking up injuries. So we may be asking for them to do something that gets them injured, and that's not the right thing either. So I can't answer any of the question at the moment, because we're not seeing anybody put their hand up.
That's why it's very early for us to be overreacting to what Healy's doing. And at the same time, you know, there's actually not that many games left for the Irish management team to assess how good they might be in a World Cup quarterfinal, either starting because of injury or coming off the bench because of injury. And I mean, that's our ambition, and it's going to be against France or the All Blacks, or is it France or South Africa? It's definitely two of the best three teams in the world anyway. So like, it's definitely rocking a hard place for the Irish management at the moment, it feels anyway, in terms of the number 10 jersey.
But what's the risk? You know, at certain stage, we know how a lot of these players play, and sometimes you might just have to drop them in. And I know I've quoted this line 1,000 times on this show, but Noel Murphy's line was, you're only ever an injury away. And we know that in the case of Orgie Snyman, that opens the door for somebody else to come through. But equally well, if you're given the jersey, you have to take the jersey. Now, you don't have to be the best player in the world that day. You just need to do your job competently, well, knowing that you can ease into it and you have the temperament for it. And that's the difficulty for 10. 10 is entirely to deal with pressure. They're always under pressure. They're pressure every time they kick a goal, every time they run the ball, every time they do anything. The game rests on a 10's shoulders. I mean, they are the guy who runs the game.
And Irish rugby has always had this fetish for number 10s. And so with that comes all the extra pressure. Before you play, we think you're the absolute best player in the world because we haven't seen you play. And then as soon as we see you play, we're like, no, next. So that's how it works. We're fairly fickle when it comes to our 10s in Irish rugby. And we've been blessed with Sexton. Brian O'Driscoll called him a once-in-a-generation player, and it's true. The last point about this, and obviously we're focusing on the Munster-Connacht game because it's the biggest game of the weekend. Munster are actually 15-point favourites for this, Fiona. And I think that's probably slightly an underrated aspect of the performances so far, is that when they've been good, they've been really good. So there are very promising signs. They just need to keep that momentum going this weekend.
Yeah, that's it. And this is the game where we'll see that. I mean, you have to back the system. I think for me, they look really, really confident. All the players we've seen changes each week. It seems to have an effect. Like last week, a lot of people talked about those 11 changes before the game. And not, we didn't see that. Their shape, their style, everything still was really. And I think for me personally, last week was the first time we saw really, really Larkham's influence on the backline attack. We really saw it. It's like the young guys were playing with no shackles. They literally went out. We saw the ball going wide. We saw the areas being exploited. When we played hard flat rugby, it was their footwork around the contact area was absolutely outstanding. So yeah, like as a Munster supporter, I'm really, really confident. But also as a Munster supporter, you have to take a step back and realise that at any stage, anything could go wrong. So look, they're in a good place for me. Looking at them, they look confident. The academy players are making that step up. I mean, even the likes of Jack O'Donoghue, who he's really talked about, he's had outstanding games. I think he's been involved in the last three games. He's been brilliant for me. And to see him, if he's able to sit in that back row and play confidently, that gives you Ty Byrne in the second row, you know, with Klein maybe. So there are so many options in that second in the back five there, and you know, and their power game has come on massively. So I'm confident, but they have to bring it. They have to bring it this week against the Connacht team who obviously are on the back of that defeat and love coming to Thomond Park, especially Aki if he's playing and putting on a show.
Yeah, should be tasty. Thanks, folks. Thanks a million for joining us this morning. Cheers.
Cheers, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
Keith and Fiona give us their thoughts there on the weekend's games. If you've got a view on that, we'd love to hear from you. 0879 180 180 is the WhatsApp number. And you can always get in touch also on the YouTube channel by just leaving a comment. If you are a Munster fan and you're looking for something to keep you going while you count down to your next trip to Thomond Park, there's a brand new Munster Rugby podcast over on the Rugby channel, The Red Eye, with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Every Wednesday they'll bring you in-depth analysis of each weekend's game and all the action from the other teams around the province. The first episode launched yesterday, and after a remarkable turnaround against Scarlets at the weekend that came from four forward tries, Niamh and Quinny were discussing why maybe this direct route shouldn't be billed as such a bad thing.
You don't really care how you win, especially in these big games. You just care that you win, and you win so well convincingly after being under such pressure. And I thought, if something's working, why change it? So Munster's ability to take Stormers on up front throughout that second half was working. So why would you change it? And like, we both know at the end of the day, it's a results-driven business and we've got to try and win as much as possible. And
is there a bit unfair that we're looking for flair and we're looking for more
attack? I think it can be. I think
there's more emphasis on what Stephen Larkham is doing. Is that because of the end result in the last couple of seasons where Munster haven't won a trophy and maybe in a couple of games they've probably kicked a little bit much or they've struggled to chase a game if they've been behind? Is it a little bit unfair or is it realistic? Because we're going to try and get fans' interaction on this podcast, and whether you agree with it or not or like it or not, you know, social media can be nasty, but it can also be very informative as to what people are thinking. And you know, the fans give opinions. We want balanced opinions. We don't want opinions that are not backed up by facts. But maybe there's probably a line there that some of it is unfair and some of it is fair, because have they an ability to really improve the attack? And I think they showed that on Sunday, that the ambition is there, and maybe that last try. And what I thought what they tried to do in the Sharks game is move the ball. Some of the accuracy wasn't good. The mitigation there is it's early season stuff.
So it's like the first game, yeah, 100%.
But the DNA of Munster is forward play, being excellent at the breakdown, scrum, line-out, set piece, all that stuff. So I had no problem leaving the Stormers game thinking, would I love to see four tries scored by the backs and through loads of phases? Yeah, it'd be nice. But I had no issue, because you have to manage your way through games like that. And I thought they were really shrewd and intelligent what they
did. Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs there on the first episode of The Red Eye, available every week wherever you get your podcasts. The full video is available too on the Rugby Channel YouTube page. You can find them on Twitter at Rugby Channel 15.